Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Amen, amen, amen. Had it not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Hey, if you're a visitor here, raise your hand. If first-time visitors, raise your hand. Amen. Give our visitors a hand. Amen. Amen. Good to have you. Disclaimer to our visitors, if you was looking for a quiet little church where we worship God in silence, you're at the wrong place. So if somebody tricked you into coming, we're sorry. But man, God is good, and we're excited about that. Amen. Amen. Our pastor, I sat under him for 14 years, and he used to sing this song. It said, Satan came to me this morning, spoke to me without a warning, said, why don't you just quit or compromise? I said, look here, you devil, with you I'm gonna level. I can't quit. I got my eye on the prize. Amen. Man, I feel that today. Anybody can quit. Anybody can give up. Anybody can throw in the towel. Amen. But it takes a soldier to fight on. Amen. Glad we're soldiers of the cross. Genesis chapter 5, verse 32. I'm going to preach fast, so listen fast. Genesis 5, 32. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah beget Shem, Ham. Thank God he beget Ham. Amen. And Japheth. You can be seated. First Samuel 37 through 8 says, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, man, this is God talking here. He said, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. How many people in here has been in church for over 20 years? You've been going to church for over 20 years? Raise your hand. Anybody 30 years? 30-year members? 40 years? 40 years? 50 years? No 50, 150 year, 250 years? To the people that's been going to church for a little bit of time, can you say that church has changed since when you first got started? Man, it's a lot different for me now coming to church than it was when I was a kid. Amen? I went to a Baptist church as a kid. I went to community churches as a kid. And it's different. It's just different now. Things have changed. The music has changed. The songs have changed. Amen? How many people like them better? Raise your hand if you like them better now than you did back then. How many people like the old stuff better than what's going on now? Look around, musicians. You got some haters up in here. We had the red hymnal. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And then some churches had the green ones and the pages were wrong. And I was like, where'd these green ones come from? But we sang songs out of the hymn book, and man, I still sing those songs. I still remember the words to Victory in Jesus. Amen. Still remember the words to Amazing Grace. Still remember the words to I Surrender All. I Surrender All was probably the most depressing song I ever heard as a kid. There was no upbeat to it. It was usually an altar call song, and it was all to Jesus. Yeah. Okay, stop. It was like it drug out so long. All to Jesus. So this is a side note. This has nothing to do with my sermon. But if you go to YouTube, there's a song. Just look this one up, and it'll tie you in with all. It says, "Not Your Grandma's Hymn." And they're singing hymns to heavy metal music. It's totally different than any hymn. It's definitely not your grandma's hymn. And some of y'all are like, "Well, that's just horrible." I don't know. It depends on what you're doing. But things have changed. Things have changed. And in that change, some changes to the good. Some of us agree, some of us not so much. But definitely in that change, there are some things that have changed for the worse. In the progression, some things get lost in the translation. And I've noticed these since going to church as a kid and being saved now and preaching since I was 17 years old and I'm 27 now, so that's just 10 years. Over that time, okay, maybe a little older, but as in that time, I've seen some things change. Some things are good and some things not so good. Because one thing that we have done as a church, as the church in the Western culture, to become culturally relevant is we've let down on some truths. And by letting down on those truths, the church has lost some of her power. Can you say amen? Trying to get along with all the people that are lost and trying to make the church cool and acceptable, we've lost some truths. Because I'm going to tell you, when I really came to the church, I wasn't looking for the church to accept me like I was because I didn't like me the way I was. I needed somebody that could give me something that would change me from where I was to where I am now. And when I think of where I'm going in terms of where I've been, I thank God I've been born again. I'm going to testify, and I repeat this a lot, but we need to hear it. Because as a kid, I tried to walk right. I tried to be a Christian. Let me take that back. I tried to act like a Christian. Try to become a Christian. And I figured out that Christianity was too difficult for me. Anybody share that testimony? Because I would fail. Remember this. I'm going to repeat this. Bo, I came to the conclusion that Christianity was for old people that had no temptation in their life, that just sat around and knitted and was waiting to go on into glory. They're studying for their final exam because they didn't have anything else to do. I was wrong. God got a hold of me when I was 16 years old, and he turned my life upside down. I went and I sat in a church, and that same preacher that preached, "Satan came to me this morning," that same preacher preached this. He said, "You can't live for God without God. You can't make it on your own. You can't run fast enough. You can't jump high enough. You can't be good enough to get into heaven." I'm sitting there saying, "Amen." As a sinner, I tried it and it didn't work. He told me something revolutionary. He said, "You got to be born again." Let me tell you how you get this. You got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's how he said it. And I found out I can't live for God without God. I can't do it on my own. God's called every person in this room. You say, "Well, I'm not saved." Well, you might be before you leave here today. God's got a plan. God's got a plan for your life. Listen real close. God did not call you to sit on a church pew. He didn't call you to, hey, listen, you can learn a lot on a church pew, especially if I'm preaching. You can learn a lot. I'm joking. You can learn a lot sitting on a church pew, but you can't accomplish anything sitting on a church pew. Your calling is not to come here every Sunday. Come on, sometimes you got to fight for a seat. People say, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do about to see?" I don't know. We can stand up.
You know how many ball games I've went to in my life that I stood up the whole game? I'm the guy that the people behind that aren't real fans, I get on their nerves. Sir, could you sit down? No way, I can't. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, don't tell me. You out there with little Joshua, your little boy out there running a touchdown, you acting like an idiot, sitting in the bleachers, it's 30 degrees, and you're out there freezing, and it's raining, and it's fixing to turn, and say, yeah, go Joshua, go Joshua. But yet you come to church to praise the King of Kings, and you won't say, go Yeshua. preach on us, preacher. I think I will today. He said, should I pursue? God said, pursue and recover all. There's some things that the church needs to recover. And not just a few things. We need to recover all the things that God has ordained for his bride to walk in. Amen. How do we do that? First of all, we have to get our relationship with God right. He said, restore unto me. David said, restore unto me the joy of, he didn't say my salvation. He said, thy salvation. He said, when I get it right, he said, then I'll convert sinners unto you. Have you ever ran across a Christian that said they were a Christian, but you doubted they were a Christian, but you're afraid to say anything? Oh, come on. No, y'all don't know anybody like that. Right? Oh, yeah, I need an answer. You know something? Yeah. And when I said it, somebody popped in your mind. Why is that? Because there's a lot of false advertisement out there. There's a lot of people that say they are possessing, but they're not possessing. They're confessing, but not possessing. They're saying that I have him, but I don't have him. Let me tell you something about Christianity. It's the only religion in the world where man is not pursuing God, but God is pursuing man. Oh, you got to get that. Every religion is God's search for man. But Christianity is God's search. Did I say that wrong? Rewind. Here, let's back up. Every religion is man's search for God. Every one of them, I'm trying to find God. I'm trying to find God. Christianity, which I want to point this out, Jesus didn't come to establish a religion called Christianity. That's not what he came for. This ain't about religion. It's about relationship. What he came for was to birth sons and daughters, to be grafted into the family. Let me tell you something about my religion. It's not about a creed. It's about an adoption. And because I've been adopted, now I'm bone of his bone, and I'm flesh of his flesh, and I carry his name. If you are a Buddhist, this is not in my notes, but I got to roll with it right now, so I feel like going. If you are a Buddhist, you are a Buddhist because you believe what Buddha taught. Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. Buddha taught enlightenment. Buddha taught nirvana. Not that nirvana. Taught him how to play the guitar. Wrong nirvana. Nirvana was a state that you needed to get into where you could overcome all your fleshly desires. The problem is, you had to gain that strength within yourself to overcome you. I'm going to tell you right now, the flesh cannot overcome the flesh. It may reform it. It may get it a little bit better. But you know what flesh is? It's weak. Every religion, here's what you got to do. Here's what you got to do. Here's what you got to do. Every religion in this world is based on what their leader taught. Every religion. If you're a Mormon, you base what you believe on what Joseph Smith taught. If you are a Buddhist, you base what you believe on what Buddha taught. If you are Islamic, you base what you believe. If you practice Islam, you base what you believe on what Muhammad taught. Christianity is not based on what Jesus taught. How do you know? Because the Bible says, never spake a man like this man spake. There's nobody ever talked like Jesus talked. Nobody ever taught like he taught. It was so awesome that when Jesus taught, people would gather around by the thousands as you preach Wednesday, just hoping to hear a word. That's pretty good. But he said, though never spake a man like this man spake, unless a corn of wheat falleth into the ground and die, it abideth alone. If we go by what Jesus taught and that's all we go by, then he was nothing more than just another religious teacher. But the Bible says he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Unlike every other leader, Jesus got up.
Amen. That's right.
Yes. How am I doing?
Good.
I'm feeling today. Now, see, it's saying in my notes, so I'm kind of feeling which way I need to go here. Every single religion except this religion. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Hate to tell you, the devil hates you. Everything about you. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've been around people that are running from God. I've been around people that want nothing to do with God. I've been around people, and I listen to their conversations. I have heard people tell other people, I will see you in hell. Having no clue what they just said. Not me. Not me. I punched my ticket, and I ain't going there. David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue? I think it's time for the church to pursue this kind of teaching. I don't care what progression says. I care what the Bible says. I don't want to hurt people's feelings. I'm a nice guy. Sometimes. The majority of the time. Where's Tracy's in nursery? I'm nice all the time. Every day of my life, I'm telling you right now. When I wake up, I'm peachy. I go to bed, I'm peachy. My wife's not here to refute any of this. You know how we are. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody. And I don't want to go back to the times that we were in. Man, back in the day, they didn't care. Their witnessing tactics were like this. Oh, you're of your father, the devil. Probably not the best approach. The problem is, the truth is, if you're lost, you're of your father, the devil. Oh, see, we were like, don't tell them, but it's true. Maybe there's another way to say it, but that's how Jesus said it. But I'm going to tell you right now, if God's dealing with their heart, you know what they want to know? I need a change. You got to do this in love. You got to, but I can't coddle you in your sin. We just as I am has turned to come as you are. Jesus loves you just like you are. No, Jesus loved me despite how I are. Jesus loved me despite how I was. Let me take you to Romans chapter 5. When we were enemies of God. We were enemies of God. I want you to take this picture in your head. Imagine a man loading up, getting ready. He's got his gun, all of his weaponry. Where are you going? I'm going to war. Who are you fighting? God? Stupid. How are you going to fight God? How are you going to fight God and win? But we were enemies of God. Listen, when he died for us, we were his enemies. It's why he can ask us to pray for our enemies, because he died for his, us. Yeah, that's good. He's not going to ask me to do something. Oh, man. Because he's asking me to do things that are in his character. So there's some things we need to recover. How are we going to do that? I'm going to tell you how. For years, y'all know me. Y'all know it. Y'all know this. The people that's been around here for a while, you know this. I love apologetics. I love them. I love being able to prove my point. Amen? I'm a skeptic by nature. I want you to prove your point too. Amen? How many skeptics in here? Anybody? Anybody here kind of skeptical about stuff? People tell you stuff. You're like, I'm like, how come every miracle happens and you have to have a passport? You got to have a passport to get to every miracle. You know what? I want a church that can do miracles in America. All right, I'm going to try it again. I don't want to have to go to Timbuktu to see a miracle. I think we can have some in Crab Orchard. Yeah. What do we got to do? We got to recover some things, because there were some things that the first century church walked in that we're not walking in. There was some power that they possessed that we didn't possess. Can I get an amen? Say, oh no, here he goes. I'm not being negative. I'm just telling you the truth. Because the only way to fix a problem is you got to admit there is a problem. Okay, we got a problem. Now what are we going to do? We got to go recover some things. How do we recover? You know what we got to do? We got to put some things down and pick up our prayer life. We got to put some things down and get our nose back in the book. We got to get in a relationship. We got to get fascinated with Jesus again. See, when I tried to be a Christian, I wasn't fascinated with Jesus. I thought it was religion that I had to do all this stuff. I can remember trying to be a Christian so young. This is a true story. I got an amazing memory. Well, like long-term memory, my short-term memory. You think I got a pretty good memory? I tell Darren stories about stuff we got. He's like, it's all new to him. Don't you remember? You were there. That's so true, man. He said one time, it was dead right. It's dead, I mean, true story. He said, I'll take your word for it. Like it was Tuesday. No, I'm kidding. It was a little longer than that. We got to get back to that place where I remember as a little boy, I was so young, I was trying to be a Christian. I can remember I was on a tricycle. And a cuss word was in my head that I was trying to get out of my head, because I felt like God would hate me if I didn't get that out of my head. A tricycle. Somebody's like, yeah, he's 14. I'm fighting. I'm riding around. I heard this word. I heard this word. And it was going over and over. And I was like, God, just help me get it out. Help me get it out of my head. Help me get out of my head. And you know what? It's difficult to get stuff out of your head when you keep thinking about. Y'all know the illustration? Y'all ready to do it? Nobody think of a yellow bus. What'd you do? You thought of a yellow bus, didn't you? It's a, don't do it, don't do it. And you're constantly thinking about that. And you know what consumes you? The thought of that. So the only way to really fix it is to replace it. The only way to push it out is to pour something else in. Hence, you've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost, because it pushes all that stuff out. I can't do it myself. I've tried. I failed. If you failed, raise your hand. Josh had his up already. Pre-failure. There's some things we need to recover. To get to that place to where we're not trying to gimmick people into getting saved, but where the power of God is drawing them through the anointing of God. And we don't need gimmicks. We just need the presence of God. So how do you fix that? You got to get into a place to where your closeness with God radiates from who you are. Amen? How do you do that? I'm going to tell you how the old guys did it. They prayed. I believe it was Smith Wigglesworth. What a name. Who would want, if there are any Wigglesworths in here, I'm sorry. His name was Wigglesworth. Historically, they said he raised 12 people from the dead. You say, oh, no, that ain't real. That ain't real. They did it in the Bible. You believe it back then, but you don't believe it today. Why do we believe they could do it then and we can't do it now? Have we progressed or regressed? Because Jesus said, these works shall you do and greater. Let me tell you how awesome it was, Dustin, for the disciples. They wasn't going around trying to, they'd walk by people and their shadows would heal people. They went up to the temple to pray. They're on their way to prayer. This is good. This just in. This just in right now. It's just in. They're on their way to pray. And there's a man outside begging alms. And they come up to him and they say, silver and gold have I none. They said, we're busted. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Watch what they did. They reached down and took him by the hand. And when they lifted him up, immediately his ankle bones received strength. And you know what he started doing? Not sitting back down. Yeah, there you go. You know the story. That's why Jesus would tell them people to take up their bed and walk, because they try to get back in it. He got up. You tired, buddy? Sick with me? He got up, and the Bible says Peter and John, which were held by him. He's holding on to them. Why is he holding on to them? Listen, this wouldn't be, sit down. This wouldn't have been us. Let me tell you how we would have rolled. Take a, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Make your checks payable to City on the Hill Church. Down there, we got the real. I don't know about the church up the road, but we got the real. This guy walked, and I'm the one that prayed for him. You don't think that's what they do? That's what they do, and then they start going to Coliseums and praying for people and counting how many people, and under our ministry, this many people, and under our ministry, and under our hashtag puke. It ain't under your ministry. It's under the power of Jesus. So he's holding them, and they look around. You know why he's holding them? I'm going to tell you why. It was the hour of prayer. They're still trying to go pray. Watch this. They healed him before they got to the prayer meeting. We're going to the prayer meeting hoping that we can get enough to heal him. Yeah. Could you imagine? Here's how we would roll. Hey, you sick? I'll be right back. I'm going to go ahead and pray about it. Hopefully, I get something in there that I can come out and help you. No, they knew exactly. And they looked around and they said, why are you people amazed? We didn't do this in our own power. Yes. We did this through Jesus. So if they did it then, tell me, why can't you do it now? Amen. I wasn't done. No, I really am. I'm done. It's okay. You rest. It's Sunday. You rest. We need to recover some things. And we need to bring them to the body, distribute them so much that it goes out the door. Amen? You know what that's going to take? Sacrifice. To our visitors, I'm sorry. You didn't come to hear this. You come to hear. We're all good. Sack. Come on, say it with me. It's hard to say. Oh, look at y'all, overachievers, saying it so fast. But you know what's awesome about sacrifice? Is when you're giving it to him, it is so awesome. Anybody ever worked out and then stopped working out for a long time? And then you start back, and man, it's a sacrifice. You know what I'm talking about? And then somebody finds out, and they come up to you. They start poking on you, wherever it's at. Hey, man. Y'all don't have the same friends I have, do you? As soon as they find out, it's, But man, after a while, you know what? Have you ever said this? Yeah, but it's a good pain. Anybody ever said that? Man, it's a good pain. It hurts, but it's a good pain. That's where we got to get in a relationship with our commitment. Why do you do what you do? It's a good pain. It's a good pain. It's a good pain. Let me get in your living room. I'm going to leave you alone. I got this favorite program that I watch. 45 minutes. I can't wait till the new one comes out. 45 minutes. If you watch a movie, some of them are 2 hours long. What would happen if we took that time? Question, real quick question. Do you think Jesus cares about the Avengers? Everybody's like, oh man, come on, dude. Preacher, come on. Now you're going real old school where TV's a one-eyed devil. And let me tell you what it does do. It takes your time to stuff that does not even matter. Come on, little side, help me out. Though y'all be least among the thousands. There's some things we need to lay down so that we have room to pick some stuff up. God, should I pursue this? Pursue it. Recover all. Recover all. We should be walking like the Church of Acts church. I don't care what John MacArthur says. I don't care what any of those doctrine of cessation people say. The same power that was available in Acts is available to the church right now. It's a fact. Come on, come on, come on here. Josh and Aaron are sporting our City on the Hill sweatshirts today. If you'd like to buy one. What are we going to do now? We're getting ready to leave. We're going to hear a song. If you need prayer, we're going to pray for you. But I think we need somebody's ready to go. I love honesty. I love honesty. We went to Promise Keepers one time. I got to tell you a story. I'll let you go. And I was with Don Pretty. And Don does not like new music. If you get in his vehicle, he's still playing The Cooks. Do y'all know who The Cooks are? Sam knows do you play The Cooks still today? Do you have a cassette player in your car? Oh, Apple Music has The Cooks? I have never searched for that ever in my life. And this band gets up there, and there's some young guys, Doug, and they're playing. And as soon as they started playing, he sat down, crossed his arms, and started mumbling. I said, Don, you don't like this music? And the guy said, hey, this will be our last song. Don clapped like a madman. the only guy in the stadium. He said, thank God. The last one I got to listen to. Appreciate your honesty. We need to get out of here. But when we get out of here, we need to take something with us. We need to carry something with us that's more than just lip service. Amen. It breaks my heart when I know people, they say they're a Christian, but there's no change in their life. Jeremy, I went home one day from work, and I asked Taylor, I said, hey, I said, I was late getting home, and they was like, where you been? I said, if I told you, she was little. I said, if I told you I was late because I had a flat tire and I had to fix my flat. I said, could you believe that? She said, yeah. I said, if I told you that the reason I was late is because I had a flat on the interstate, and as I was changing my tire, one of my lug nuts rolled out into the interstate, and I went out to get it, and I got hit by a logging truck doing 130 miles an hour. I said, could you believe that? She said, no. I said, why not? She said, if you got hit by something that big, you wouldn't be here. People say they've had an experience, an encounter with God, and it didn't do anything to you. You didn't get hit by what I got hit by. Because when you get hit by something like God, it'll change you, man. It'll change you. I'm not the same. I'm not the same. I am not the same. Let's stand. Let's stand. We're going to recover it. Ham was cursed because he was perverse. But the curse went past him and went to Canaan, his son. He said, Canaan's going to be cursed. When I say Canaan, you think of the promised land, don't you? That's what you think about. We think of land flowing with milk and honey. But the land of Canaan was cursed. But God gave it to Abram. I don't think it's a coincidence. Maybe it is, but some scholars believe it ain't. I kind of want to lean this way. Abram became Abraham. How? Because he recovered what Ham had lost in Canaan. What do you mean, preacher? I mean this. Ham lost his son. His son was cursed. Canaan was cursed because of what he did. But we've got to make sure that we recover what they have lost. We got a generation that needs us to recover them. Abram means exalted father. That's a cool name. Abraham means father of multitude. You see the difference? An exalted father could just have one. But Abraham, the guy that recovers, oh man, I can leave it alone. Leave it alone. We'll try that next week. We'll try that next week. Remember, Ham service next week. If you need prayer, if you need prayer, if you need prayer, step out, come on. If you need to surrender, if you need to commit your life to Jesus, step out, let us know. We're all rooting for you. Every one of us in here, every one of us. I promise, if you're lost and God's dealing with your heart and you come to the altar, we're going to clap like crazy for you. Amen. Don't worry about what we're thinking. We're thinking, yes, yes, yes. Because we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. Being a sinner don't make you a bad person. It makes you a person. Amen. If you need to surrender today as they play, would you surrender? If you need prayer, step out. We'll pray with you. We'll pray with you. We'll pray with you. We'll pray with you.